Rabbi Yochanan says a master can say to an Eved Kanani, you must work for me, and I will not give you food to eat, i.e. you'll need to take food from the tamchoi, from the kitchens used for tzedakah. Rav argues on this. Rav Moshe Feinstein asks, in Dibros Moshe, Simon Yud Anaf Beis, how can this halacha be reconciled with the Gemara on Daf Samach Beis Amar Aleph, which states that one may not eat his own meal until he feeds his animals? Rav Moshe argues that the responsibilities one has to his slaves is certainly not less than the responsibilities to his animals. If so, why should one not be responsible to feed his slaves just as he is responsible to feed his animals? Answering this question, Rav Moshe cites the Rambam in Perek Tes of Hilchas Avodim, who says that the reason why the master does not have to support his slave is because there is communal responsibility of tzedakah for all Jews to support all slaves. Mashenkin, who will feed the animals if he doesn't? Of course, however, the Gemara says he can't say this whole thing to his wife, and he can't say to his wife, I'm not going to give you food. He has to feed his wife. In fact, if a man's wife is sent to Ari Miklat, he still must send her food. In Tehillim it says, "Kol kvoida bas melech penima," that a woman's glory is to be inside the house. Therefore, a woman shouldn't be forced to go to work to have money to buy food. If an owner of a slave makes all maisi adayim of his eved into hektish, the eved can work in quantities less than a shava pruta and still keep the proceeds, since hektish can't be chal on less than a shava pruta. If someone cuts off the hand of his friend's eved kanani, he must pay nezek to the baal and sheves, disability, and ripoy. This eved is fed from tzedakah. It's a machlokes if freeing an eved is good for him or bad. On one hand, it's good for him, since he's free. But on the other hand, it's bad, since he loses the security of shelter, and if he's an eved lekayin, he can't eat truma anymore. The maskan is that shichrur is a schus. In fact, it's good for the eved. Daf Yud Gimel, the Mishnah. If someone says, give this get to my wife, or give this shtar shichrur to my eved, if he then dies, i.e. the husband dies, the shliach should not give the get, la'achar misa, since these things can't be accomplished after death. But if he says, give this money to a particular person after I die, that you can do la'achar misa. The Ksais HaKhayshin discusses a case of a person who authorized the shliach to give a get to his wife, and subsequently he became a shaita, he lost his sanity. This is a machlokes rishayim. The Rambam holds that even if the get was delivered after the husband lost his sanity, it's still valid min ha-Torah. Although the husband himself cannot affect a get at the time the get was given, since he's a shaita at that time, nevertheless his shliach, who is of sound mind, can perform a divorce for him. The Torah, however, rules that such a get is invalid min ha-Torah. He holds that whenever the husband becomes incapable of performing a divorce, neither can the shliach perform the divorce for him. And the Gemara says, if Reuven says to Shimon, I have 100 mana in your hand, now give it to Levi. If all three people are present, Levi is kind of the money through a kinyan called Maimed Shloshtan. This is a good kinyan, Midrabanan. Rab says, if a shchiv mera, a person who's on his deathbed, says, give a specific $100 to Pliny, it's a good kinyan. But if he says, give $100 to Pliny, the kinyan is not good, because he didn't talk about this specific $100. We don't paskin like this, but rather, all matna shchiv mera, all matanas that were given by a person on their deathbed, is considered a good kinyan. If a person is being taken out in chains to his death, hayotze bekoiler, and he said at that moment, write a get for my wife, i.e. he said only kisvu, but he didn't say tenu, he didn't say give it to my wife, we write the get and we give it to his wife. The same halacha applies to a traveler who says only kisvu and not tenu before he leaves a city. Although a mayor holds a person can make a kinyan on a davar shalei beliyadam, something which isn't in the world yet, but he agrees with everyone that a person cannot make a kinyan to someone who isn't born yet. Daf Yud Dalet. There are three halachas that the Chachamim made, like halacha l'meishim Sinai, but they have no reasons, they have no svaras. It's a hilchasa b'lay taima. Number one, the transaction of maimed shloshtan, which we mentioned before. Number two, if a person before his death writes all of his property over to his wife, you would think that he's excluding his children. If he says, I want my wife to get all my properties, then that means he doesn't want his children to get any of the properties. No, that's not what he means. What we say is we interpret his words to mean that he just wants his wife to be the apitropis. He wants his wife to control it and to oversee it, but he also wants his children to get some of it. And number three, if someone marries off his son to a wife in a special house, house that belonged to the father, we assume that this house should also go to the son. So the kind of this son is kind of this house as well as the wife. It's a machlekes if someone sends a shliach to deliver money and he doesn't say, give it to him. Is he kaina or not? Do we say, haylech kischi or not? If a malva asks a shliach to fetch money from a leiva, the leiva's responsibility toward the malva doesn't end until a malva actually gets his money back. I.e., if the money gets lost on the way back to the malva, the leiva must pay back again. If someone strongly says that he wants money to go to someone, and then he dies, we do as he wished, since we say, mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames. And finally, if a man is a shchiv mera, and he divides up his property on his deathbed, the chachamim say he affects a kinyan to whoever he wants to. Divrei shchiv mera k'ksuvim u'chemisurim dami. But according to Rabbi Lozer, he can't give over nechasim without a proper kinyan. Daf tesvav. We see from the case of Bnei Reichel that the words of a shchiv mera are chal even without a proper kinyan, just like what the chachamim said. As we said, divrei shchiv mera k'ksuvim u'chemisurim dami. This marks the end of this parak. Now let's begin the second parak, Hamevi Get Basra, the Mishnah. What if a shliach delivering a get, instead of saying the words b'fanei nechtam or b'fanei nechtam, just says b'fanei nechtam, but does not say b'fanei nechtam? Or he just says b'fanei nechtam, but he does not say b'fanei nechtam? Or, only part was written in front of me, but not the whole thing, then we say the get is pasul. If one shliach says b'fanei nechtam, and one other shliach says b'fanei nechtam, then it's also pasul. If one says b'fanei nechtav, but two of them, both of them say b'faneinu nechtam, then it's kosher, since the two are makayim, the signatures, together. The Gemara. Rabbi Chisda says we're machmir in the Mishnah, even if later on two edim come to be makayim both chasimas, since edi chasima cannot be mitzaref with b'fanei nechtav. But you need all with edim or all with b'fanei nechtav. We learn other halachas where mitzarefus doesn't work either, Rabbi Chisda says. If there is a wall of 10 tvachim, it makes the area inside of it a rishus hayachid. This is the gabi carrying on Shabbos. But if there is a drop, a gedud, in the ground of 5 tvachim, and a wall of 5 tvachim, then the mechitza will not make a rishus hayachid, this particular mechitza. You need either a bor of 10 tvachim or a wall of 10 tvachim. You can't be mitzdarif part of a bor and part of a wall. Mirema argues and says that they are mitzdarif, so it will constitute a rishus hayachid, and this is taka the halacha as we see in Shulchan Aruch Simin Shin Samach Beis Sif Beis. The Gemara says we can't use one revius to wash two people's hands at once, and we can't wash one half now, dry your hands, and then the other half later. It's tarfus chatzoin, daftez zayin. If a mikveh has exactly 40 saw, and two people go into the mikveh one after another, the first is tar, but the second is tameh, since the first took a little bit of the water with him, so that was only about 39 and a half inside the mikveh, Rabbi Yehuda says. If the first person's foot is still in the mikveh, then number two is tar, since number one is still connected, and so is the water on him. It's considered a good chibur, even though there's only a drop of water connecting. Teifeach almenas lahat piach. His foot is damp enough to moisten something else, but since there is somewhat of a connection, it is considered good. This connection of the foot is a good connection, as Rashi explains, due to the klal of good aches. The mikveh is lower than the person. We have this klal of good aches in Erevin. Rabbi Yirmiyah says if someone's head and most of his body was tovel in mayim she'uvim, this is water that was drawn via kelim, then he remains tameh. This is one of the yudches dover, the gzeros of Beis Shammai that we learn from Masechta Shabbos. The machlokes between Rabba and Rava, if the reason we require a shliach from Chutz La'aretz to say b'fanei nechtav or b'fanei nechtam is because of ein b'kiyum lishma or ein edim mitsuyim l'kaimai, this may be a machlokes tanoim. What if two Edom came from Chutz La'aretz and didn't say b'fanei nechtav or b'fanei nechtam, but instead they said b'faneinu girsha, i.e. two full-fledged Edom said they witnessed a gerushin, then we say it would be good. Daf Yud Zayin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that Klal Yisrael couldn't accept the rules of the Armayim, the Romans, so he sent them to Bavel, to be ruled by the Persians, who were easier to deal with. This is in fact where Talmud Bavli was written while they were in Bavel. The Mishnah. If the get was written during the day, and the date on it was that particular day, and the chasima was on that particular day, or everything was done at a nighttime, the date was at night, it was written at night, it was signed at night, and so on. Of course, since everything was done within the same calendar day, according to the Jewish calendar, which begins at night, it's kosher. But let's say it was written by day, and it was signed at night. So now there's a new date, because night is already a new day. It's a new date. So we can say that it's pasul. Shimon says, this is considered kosher. This kula is only by gittin, however. But by other shtarei mammon, and everything has to be done within the same calendar date, according to the laws of a Jewish calendar, which has the day beginning in the evening. And the Gemara says, why would the Rabbanan misaken that a get needs a date at all? Rabbi Yechanan says, mishum bas achayse. If a man marries the daughter of his sister, so even if she's mezana, he will have pity on her, write a get after the Eidei Znus came, to claim that she was already divorced when she was mezana. And since we say sufik nefashis lahakel, we wouldn't be able to kill her. Therefore, we need a date and a get in order to establish exactly when it took place. Reish Lakish says, the date is needed mishum peris, to establish at what point he can't eat the peris that belonged to her anymore. Reish Lakish doesn't hold like Rabbi Yochanan, because nus isn't shchiach. And Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold like Reish Lakish, since the husband has the right to eat peris till he gives her the get. So a date doesn't accomplish anything for her anyway, because the date on the get will be different, or could potentially be different than the date he actually gives her the get. It's actually a machlaikis when he loses the right to her peris, mishas ksiva or mishas nesina. There are three gittin which are pasul midrabanan, and you must give another get. But if she remarries without the new get, the child born from marriage number two is kosher and is not considered a mamzer. One of these is a get which has no zman. Generally, people don't like to write bad news before they have to. Therefore, once a husband writes and gets a get signed, he's not going to carry it around for a week before giving it to her. From what time do we begin counting the 3 months after get so she can remarry? This is a takana of havchana, that a woman must wait 3 months after she gets divorced before she remarries, so she becomes pregnant at a later date and gave birth 6 months later, we'll be able to establish if the father is the first husband or the father of this child is the second husband. So do we begin the 3 months count from the Shas Nesina, this is what Rav holds, Sina's Haget, when the get is given, or from the Shas Ksiva, which is what Shmuel holds, from the time that the Shtar is actually written? We have brises that support both Shitas. And the Gemara says the Halacha is that we count from the Shas Ksiva like Shmuel. In Shulchan Aruch, this is a Machlekes Machaber and Rama. The Nafkamina on when the count actually begins is important, not only for Gittin, but in Shtari Maman as well. Since we know that a Malva can not only collect from the Chasim B'nei Charan, but he can also collect from the Chasim Mishubadim as well. But he can only collect from the Chasim Mishubadim, which the Leiva owned at the time the Shtar was Chal, and he sold later. But what he had sold before the Chalais HaShtar, the Malva cannot collect from. That's why we need to know the exact time that this thing took place. That's why we have to put a date on the Shtar Halva. Also, it's important to point out that the date that we put on a get is very important, because that's when there's a public call that people can end up hearing the news that the people were divorced. Rabbi Shimon says, even if it was written by day and signed at night, i.e. the next day already, because in the Jewish calendar of a night is already the next day, it is good. Since once he decided to divorce her, i.e. he wrote the shtar, he can't take payers from her anymore. But if he didn't sign it till the next morning, even Rabbi Shimon holds its puzzle, since Chayshin and Shema pious, he may have appeased her, had Tashmish Hamita that night, and the two of them made up with each other. So this would puzzle the get. Rabbi Yechanan says, even here Rabbi Shimon would be Mekel, since if they made up, the neighbors would know about it. If a man made a get where he wanted 10 people to sign the get, kulchem, if just one of these edim are karab apostle, the entire edis becomes apostle. Daf Yotes, the Mishnah. You can use any ink to write a get as long as it's ink that is permanent, but you can't use juice or something which can be erased. You can write a get on anything, also, as long as this anything that you write it on lasts, even the horn of a cow. But in that case, he has to give her the entire cow as well as the horn. And you can even write it on the hand of an Evet, if you give her the Evet. Rabbi Yisrael clearly argues, and says you can't give a get written on Eichlin, on food, or something which is living, a davar sheyesh by ruach chayim. Think about it. You can write a shtar using diyai, which is the black ink used for Sefer Torah, with sam, colored earth, with sikra, a red substance, with kumus, sap of a tree, or kankantum, boot black. The common denominator is that all these will last for a long time, and cannot be erased. If one writes black over existing red writing on Shabbos, he is chayev twice, once for ksiva and once for mechika. But if he writes black over black, he's only chayev for one, since he hasn't improved anything. Some say he's putter, since it's considered mekalkel, he's actually destroying the original ink. If Adam don't know how to sign their names for a get, Rav says we etch out forms of letters, and they fill it in with ink. Taisa says this is actually referring to a stencil situation. Shmuel says, we write with lead, and they sign over it with ink. We're mekel by get, because mishumi guna ikilu berabanan. The rabbanan were mekel, because they were afraid that if we're not mekel by gittin, women will end up not getting a proper divorce, and they could end up not being able to remarry for the rest of their lives. But other shtaris, this procedure is not allowed. Edom must know how to sign on their own in order for them to be Edom on a regular shtar. If a man gives a woman a get and she accepts it, and then throws it into the sea, later he claims it wasn't a get, but it was some other shtar, we say she's divorced, and he can't disclaim it. And finally, if a man threw a get to a woman and it landed between barrels, if we find a mezuzah, we assume he threw a mezuzah, therefore it's not a get. Dafchaf. If a get was written shalei lishma, and then he wrote over these letters with ink, and it was lishma, this is a machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, as we say with the same machlekes by Sefer Torah, when someone wrote yud k vav k instead of the word Yehuda, and then he wanted to change it. But maybe it's not the same machlekes, since by Sefer Torah we need a perfect Shem Hashem, due to zekeli v'yanveyu, so it's a different kind of situation, and you can't bring a raya from there. Rabbi Chizda said, I could passel all the gittin of the world. If a man writes a get on something which is aser bahana, even though it isn't worth a shava pruta, we say the get is kosher. The Gemara says when coins are minted, the question is if it's michritz charetz, and not a ksiva, since the metal around the letters are what are being pushed, but nothing positive is done to actually form the letters, or we say kenufe michnaf, that the letters are positively minted in the specific shapes of the letters. If a man says, here's a get for you, but the paper should remain mined, it's no good, since it's just a case of Isis parchas ba'avir. But if he gives her the get, but says, it's yours, but I want the paper back later, then it's kosher, since we could say it's just a matana almanas lahachzer. And finally, ksivas kaka, that's a tattoo, and if it's written on someone, we say that it's considered permanent and it cannot be erased. Daf chaf alaf. Rava says if he wrote a get to his wife on the hand of an Eved Kanani, and he also gives her the right to the Eved, the Matana, she's automatically kind of the get, since the Eved becomes her property, so the get on his hand is like her receiving a get in her chutzer. Abaya says, the inyan of kinyan chutzer by get is learnt from biyada in the pasuk. So Abaya learns this case of Eved would not work. Since the Torah calls get a sefer, we have a klal uprat uklal, the kasav law, is the klal. Sefer krisus is the prat, and v'nasan biyada is the klal. This prat includes things similar to the sefer, but excludes dissimilar things like eichlin and balei chayim. Sefer also teaches us that although havaya kedushin can be done with shtar or kesef, a get, the itzia, leaving the relationship, can only be done with shtar. The Mishnah. A get cannot be written on something which is mechuber lekarka. If he disconnected it and then got the chasimas, it's kosher. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's possible mechuber unless both the ksiva and the chasima are done betolish. Also, a get cannot be written on a shtar that can be erased. The chachamim say it's kosher. The Gemara. This Mishnah follows the shita of Rabbi Elazar, who holds edi mesira karsi. The key to the get is the handing over of the get, not the ksiva. If a person wrote a get on a flower pot of an otzitz nakov, flower pot with a hole at the bottom, Abaya says as long as he gives her the entire flower pot, it's kosher. According to Rava, it's pasul. Tafchof base. If the branches of a tree are in Eretz Yisrael, but the otzitz nakov is in chutzlaretz, Rava says we follow the branches which are in chutzlaretz. But according to Abaya, we go by the root, so the plant is chayev in the mitzvah satulius baretz. If a tree has peris in both Eretz Yisrael and chutzlaretz, according to Rebbe, you'll have tevel and chulin in every pile, so you must take off trumas and maisrus from everything. According to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, those which grow in Eretz Yisrael are chayev, those which grow in chutzlaretz are potter. There are three types of hides that we use. Matzah, which is all natural, like matzah is all natural. Chefa, which is partially treated as a hide. Its minimum shear is used to cover a kameya, that's the minimum shear that's used, shear of a chefa. And diftera, which is fully treated. And this is what we use as a hide for get. The Chachamim in the Mishnah who say a get can be written on an erasable piece of paper, they're going like Rebbe Elazar, who holds Edi Masira Karsi. So that's the proof of the get, not the chasima. So the fact that it can be erased is irrelevant. Rebbe Elazar was only machsha this if the divorce took place immediately, but not later. And this kula can only apply to a get, not other shtaris. Of course, the Eitz HaTaiva is always to write even a get on a shtar she'ena yachal lihizdayef, something that cannot be erased, so you'll potentially have no problems later on. The Mishnah. Anyone is kosher to write a get, including a cheresh, shaita, v'kan. And a woman can write her own get, since the get is only legal when the chasima takes place. Daf Chof Gimel. The Gemara. Since get must be lishma, how can a cheresh, shaita, v'kan write it? Our answers, there was a gadol who was Aymed al-Gabaf, who guided them to write it lishma. What about a guy? Can he write a get if a Yisrael is Aymed al-Gabaf? That's a machlekes. According to a mayor, since the key is chasima, eide chasima karsi, even if you find a get in the garbage with you and your wife's name on it, as long as the chasima is lishma, it's kosher. The Mishnah. All are kosher to be the shliach for the get, except for a cheresh shaita v'katan, a blind person, or a guy. It's a cut and received the get and was nisgadel before he delivered it, or he was blind and his sight returned, or an akum, a guy who was nisgayer. All of them are pasal, since at the time of the shlichas, each of these people were pasal to be a shliach. The Gemara says a blind person can't be a shliach, even though he's a bardas, since he can't see the giver or the acceptor of the get. So he could easily be fooled and wouldn't be able to clearly say b'fanei nechtav u'b'fanei nechtav. The Mishnah says that a suma, as we mentioned, a blind person, is not qualified to be a shliach to deliver a get. Here we have in the Gemara a machlekes between Rav Sheshes and Rav Yosef. Rav Sheshes said that the reason for this is because he can't positively identify the man sending the get, nor the woman who should be receiving the get, and therefore we're concerned that it won't be delivered properly. Rav Yosef, however, disagrees with Rav Sheshes and proves that a suma can rely on a sense of hearing to positively identify people, and therefore if he recognizes the husband and the wife's voices, there are no halachic grounds to suspect that he will mistake them for someone else. Rav Yosef, therefore, concludes that the reason a suma is disqualified is only because he cannot testify, say, b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtav. Whether or not tfias eina dekala, voice recognition, is tantamount to tfias eina deri'ya, sight recognition, regarding other halachic matters as well, is a matter of machlekes amongst the paiskim, as it's brought in Al Adaf. The Tshuvas Rimagash, Chalos and Tshuvas Simen Kufmemtas, cites our Gemara as a proof that tfias eina dekala is halachically acceptable form of identification, and therefore he rules that if two witnesses testify that they overheard Ruvain admit that he owes money to Shimon, their edus is accepted by Bezdin as evidence that the money is indeed owed, even though they did not actually see Ruvain at the time. They only recognized him through the sound of his voice. The Ksais HaKhayshin, in Simen Pe'alaf Sifkat Yud Gimel, he, however, cites a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Samach Zayin Amar Aleph, that indicates that voice recognition alone is not sufficient with regard to identifying a Mesis Umediach, a person who committed the capital sin of attempting to persuade another Jew to commit idolatry. In fact, Rashi there explicitly states that if witnesses merely heard the offender commit the crime, but did not see him, he cannot be prosecuted due to the lack of positive identification. Thus, the Ktais rules that with regard to monetary matters, same halacha would apply, such as the case of the Rimagash that we said before. Bezdin cannot rely on Tfias Eina Dekala. He says that only with regard to Isser, such as the case in Ar Gemara concerning a get, or a case of marriage, then witnesses via Tfias Eina Dekala are acceptable as valid identification. The Pri Chadash, however, suggests that Tfias Eina Dekala is accepted universally in all cases as positive identification, but the case mentioned in Sanhedrin indicating to the contrary is an exception. He explains that only that the case of identifying the mesis is voice recognition not sufficient, because we suspect that the offender may have purposely altered his voice to impersonate someone else in order to protect his identity. Therefore, only in that case that the halacha require that he be identified only via sight recognition. But by all other cases, voice would be good enough as recognition for edus. The Gemara says an eved cannot be a shliach for a get, since he is not in the Torah of Gittin v'Kiddushin, the Mishnah. Normally we accept one aid for the death of a man, because we're afraid if we don't accept a one aid, she'll never know for sure whether her husband died or not, and she could remain an iguna for the rest of her life. But there are five women who cannot be believed as an aid achad, because we're afraid that they're just doing it, they're just saying the aid is to make trouble. However, for shlichas of get, even these five are believed, since the ksiva and the ksima of a get can act as a confirmation to their aidus. Daf Chaf Dalet, the Gemara. If the husband doesn't give the woman the get directly into her hand, but just puts it on the ground and says, pick it up from the ground, this get is not chal, since the pasuk says, v'nasan biyada. In order for it to be chal, he has to actually put it into her hand. This marks the end of this parak, and at this point we will conclude our share.